the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Learn how to be at home. Like with the business, I'm not coming from business background. My family wasn't rich or anything, neither my ex-husband's family. So they had no idea about it. So I came, we were doing business, it was coming completely without that influence from the family, if you know what I mean.
Right. Well, I'm so glad that you are here to be an influence with us on the Edge, and I'm excited to have you here on the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. That is Ella Kushner, and she's calling us in or beaming in from New South Wales. That's in Australia, Sydney. Okay, I've been to Sydney. Actually, I won the trip to Sydney, Australia, with Ellen DeGeneres. And it is a yes, and it is beautiful. I love it. I went and saw the Three Sisters, the mountain there, and the wildlife preserve, and the opera house, and it's just a wonderful thing. So we're going to have a great conversation. We're going to talk about leadership. We're going to talk about conscious leadership and authentic communication. What is authentic communication? Because you know what? A lot of people can't handle the truth. And so I want to get Ella's perspective on that, how we manage that, how being a woman in business with her husband or husband at that time, you know, I love Mr. Magnificent, but I don't know if I could work with him. But she says that's how she works the best. So let's welcome her to the Edge, Ella Kushner. How are you?
Hello. Hello, April. It's lovely to be here and talking with you. And thank you so much for having me here on this show with you. So giving me this opportunity to share some information.
On the Edge with me and the Brains. Well, let me get comfortable because you don't have an Australian accent. Where are you originally from, baby?
Originally, I'm from Ukraine, or former Soviet Union. When I left with my parents, I was still a child, yeah, and it was still a Soviet Union, so behind the Iron Curtain. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember a lot about living in the Ukraine?
I do, because I left, when I left, I was 12 and a half years old, so wow. I do remember that. I went to school there in my younger years, and yeah, I do remember that. So that I didn't have a chance to go back there as yet. Oh, maybe one day I'll visit it again, but yeah, I love, because I come from the city on the Black Sea, it's called Odessa, and it's a international in a way city, because it's a port city where everything, it comes from around Europe, comes through there.
Absolutely.
And it is designed beautifully. So, yeah. So that's a city on the sea. And I'm here in Sydney, again, by the sea, by the water. Just my favorite place to be.
How did you end up in Sydney?
Well, with my parents, obviously. They migrated here when I was 12. By the time we came here, we went through Italy, we came here. I was 13. And, well, I didn't have much say in that, so it wasn't my choice.
Why did your family find it so valuable to leave the Ukraine and go to a more, for the lack of a better term, westernized kind of philosophy of democracy to live and work?
Yeah. Because life wasn't easy in the Soviet Union, my parents, especially my mom, that was my mom's initiation, she wanted a better life for her family and for her kids. Mm-hmm. So I've got an older brother, and we came here with my grandmother as well. So, that's what my mom thought, that would be a great place to be. And she was the initiator of the whole movement across the globe. So
One smart woman. So let me ask you this. You see that your mother was very strong-willed. She moved her whole entire family, not only across the world, but also from one sort of government regime to another one. And now yes. you have come to Australia, you've made your own life, you've married a man, you started business. What is it that you learned from your mother, her strength, that really helped you develop who you are as a businesswoman today?
Well, my starting with my parents, they were never rich. They never had money. We lived okay. But my mom was at home most of the time. She was working on and off occasionally. My dad was working, but it's just the salary. And what I've learned from my mom, I think that's the biggest lesson that helped me a lot in the beginning of my life, to start in life, to start the business, to save the money and set ourselves quite well in life, was her valuing the money. Even though we didn't have much money, but there was always food in our home. It was always it's done beautifully, renovation and everything. My mom had a way of finding things, of getting things done, organizing things. So she was really, really persistent, and also had a very high value for money. So she could do amazing things with virtually very, very little money. And that's where I've learned that the value of money in the beginning, in early stages of my life, in early stages of my marriage, early stages of my business, is how to manage that. I think that was the biggest value, biggest lesson from my mom.
So you've used all those things and you established an extremely successful business. I mean, you were making seven figures. Tell us a little bit about your business that you have.
Well, the business we've started with my then husband at that time, my daughter was only 2 years old. And I didn't really want to go back to work because I wanted to spend a bit of more time with my daughter. But when we decided to start business, I said to myself, you know, I can't choose at the moment. I have to find a suitable babysitter and find a job to make sure our business survives. Especially when I start seeing I saved the money and the money start going down. So I've found myself a job in the beginning. So at least we have money to feed ourselves, to pay rental or something while we're building the business. And then when I saw that the business starts going a little bit better, I left the job. At that time, I was pregnant with my second child and I stepped into the business. Our business was in the building industry. So again, we've started with zero, with absolutely nothing. And in 3 years of operation, it was turning $1.5 million a year. So I make it, I put it, obviously, a huge, my ex-husband, he was a big action taker. And I was a big on creating systems, structures, communication with people, the way I communicated with people. I've got some sort of gift in understanding what other people, how best to talk to other people in a way they would understand and get, most important is getting results.
Not only talking to understand, but also talking with impact, encouraging people to move, setting their mindset, them being conscious. You have a great business and business model now that you're coaching, and it's conscious leadership. What is that about? I'm hearing that, you know, that's a new buzzword now.
Yeah, well, it is. Well, conscious leadership is more of a holistic view on leadership. It's a more than leadership that people need these days, because we can't go just on strategy and hierarchy and, you know, influencing people to do things that we want. It is more integrating your mind and body and your soul into it. It all starts with you. At the end of the day, it all starts with you. And it's very important to understand yourself first, to understand what triggers you emotionally, mentally, different sabotages that you have. You need to understand that, and you need to work on that and grow for the purpose of being a great leader, for the purpose of being able to have that impact, to be able to inspire yourself from within. Because there's so many responsibilities, there's so many expectations when you're being a leader, you know. And these days, people want different things. It's more about people's leadership rather than that hierarchical leadership these days.
Right.
Standing gap in the generation is a big thing as well. And so if you're trying to talk to someone younger in a way you used to do it, it's not going to work. That's why there's a problem there, that younger generation, they just don't want to submerge into someone else's orders. They want to make the difference, and they want other people to help them, empower them.
So they can understand. Right. Because again, you know, when we grew up, we had chores, we had responsibilities. There were certain guidelines that we automatically knew. Millennials are a little bit different. The way that they communicate, the way that they received information, the way that they're being taught, it's a lot different. So I totally get it. But then there's also a value in more seasoned people. Older people are really looking to springboard and become entrepreneurs. But let me ask you a question. Everyone is not equipped to be an entrepreneur. Some people are what we call W-2 workers. They just go and get a job and they're happy. What would you say to the person that doesn't necessarily want to be an entrepreneur and have their own business, but be content in the business that they're in and try to make the best of that and grow? What would you say to that person? Because that's a little different conversation.
Oh, totally different. And I respect that, because not everyone can be entrepreneur, as you said, and I totally agree with it. For those people, it's very important, obviously, to have this respect and being feeling valued at work. Because we're all unique. We all have our own gifts, and we're all, if we actually really be interested in another person, would find their specialty, their gifts.
Right, their niche. Right.
And it's about sometimes those people might not even know themselves. So it's so important for the leader in the organization and the company is to have this special, specific connection with those people that are working there. Because after all, at the end of the day, these are the people that actually working in those organizations are the one that know what they're doing, that making that business, that making that money for those bosses. And I mean, I've been working myself for 15 years in education organization after my divorce. I found that being in the mid sort of leadership, mid management position, I found how difficult it is when people above you, your boss, the director of the company is really keeping you out of things, and you there working on the blind, don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And sort of you're stuck because you're working with other people and you don't know yourself what tomorrow brings.
Right.
When there are communication.
Right.
And at the same time, when they think by walking by your desk, they think they already know what you're doing or what you're not doing, and they are throwing out orders. It has to be done a certain way. There needs to be that connection. There needs to be that communication. There needs to be that authenticity, people being themselves. You know, otherwise, if that doesn't happen, a person cannot be themselves, so they cannot really open up. So they would try to avoid coming to work. They would try to avoid really getting engagement and being interested in getting results for your company. So that's the upper management needs to understand.
And what happens also too is that you cramp their creativity. I mean, you have a person there that is so ingrained in the company. They've worked there 10, 15 years. They've had maybe one promotion, but you're not listening to them. They may really have the next great innovative idea. You know, just think, if Steve Jobs never listened to his employees, Apple wouldn't be where it is today. IBM, Coca-Cola, all these major companies were not built by one individual or one CEO. It was a collaboration, a collection of minds. What you have done to really help people navigate and facilitate this is you've written a book. Tell us a little bit about your book.
Yes, I have. I had a dream to write a book.
Wow.
And I didn't know what kind of book I actually wanted to write. And I thought, I'll just sit down and write a book of my experience, my knowledge, my learnings. But then I decided actually to challenge myself because I like challenges. And sometimes I challenge myself a bit too much. myself, and I've approached people around the globe. Influential people around the globe, people that had made changes and influenced other people in a good way to improve their lives, to make a difference. It took me a while, obviously, to connect to some people, get a response from some people, because, you know, trying to approach people that are really busy and they've got agenda of their own and, you know, they've got a purpose to run and help other people. So that has been a challenge in itself. Anyway, I've finally got, I've actually interviewed 20 people. And I then
where's the book? Let me see. You have it.
So this is the book. There are only 10 people in this book.
Oh, wow.
It's called Secrets to Communicate and Empower. How to Become an Authentic Leader. People value, trust, and respect.
Wow.
So it's on Amazon now, and I've changed the cover recently. It was a little bit different before. So I've got all my contributors on the outside here. So you can see them. I've got Dr. John DeMartini. You probably know him. He's a global behavioral specialist, and he's actually been awarded as such this year. And he's an amazing, amazing person.
Wow.
I've got Robin Liu. Who is, she's a doctor, Robin Liu. She's worked with United Nations and White House social strategist.
Oh, wow.
I've got Benjamin Harvey. He's the owner of Authentic Education, which is awesome. I'm so proud because they have been in the top 100 and then top 10 BRWs, one of the self-growth, personal growth company that has been in BRW. So I've got Kervin Ray, who is a it's business and social media strategist. He's amazing as well. I've got a lady here, which is Marilyn Shermer. You can't see her, but she is the founder of International Institute for Women.
Wow.
So this book that
how did you reach out to them? Because a lot of people are going to want to know that. Now, I know that you are a woman of influence and that you're a very strong businesswoman. But what was your tactic? What did you do to approach these individuals to say, I'm working on this project and I want you to be a contributor? Because when you reach a certain level, you don't just take a call from anybody and say, oh, will you be in my book? What kind of conversation did you have with them? Because you had to have a strategy as well.
Yes, yes. And I did what I do best is I emailed them because I'm so good in written communication. Because when I was working in international education organization, I've done a lot of collaboration and work. And I've done a lot of that through written communication.
Right.
I did what I did best. So I've approached all these people. I emailed them. I told them what I'm doing and wanted them to see if they can be the, if I can interview them for about 20 minutes. Of course, I didn't get response from everyone.
Right.
I've even written to Bill Clinton. I thought, oh, maybe because he's an amazing communicator after all. And I thought,
and he probably didn't get the email. He probably didn't get it. But
no. I did get a response from White House in 5 months' time, though.
Wow.
So it was very impressive.
Well, let me tell you, I wrote a letter to Barack Obama and he wrote me back a personal letter. So we say this to brains, and I tell you, is you cannot be afraid. You have to be a risk taker. And you have to reach out to people. You would be surprised. And for those people that did not respond, I'm one of those people. You'll host an event or you'll reach out to someone and they don't respond. They're not supposed to be there.
That's true.
Only the people that are actually supposed to be in your space, in your sphere, to be a part of your project, to be at your event, to answer your phone calls, to contribute, those are the ones that are supposed to be there. So value that. Don't say, oh, I didn't get or I didn't get. You got exactly who you want, and really is what is going to propel that book to the next level. But you wrote it in a very unique way. It's not just the people that contributed to it, but tell us a little bit about the inner workings of the actual book.
Right. Okay. Thank you for asking that question. I actually created a framework before I actually approached the people, before I start interviewing the people. So yeah, you were right about that, creating a structure before approaching people. So I've done that framework because there's so many books out there that I've read and bought with the people's interviews. And what it says is, when you read this book, you learn this and this and this. I buy the book and I read all these separate interviews with each individual person. By the time I come back to the end of the book, I'm just asking myself, where is the answer to this specific, I bought this book specifically to ask, find out the answer to this specific question. And I didn't find it because, yeah, it's nice stories that you read, but it's not in such a, they're not written in such a way. So I've decided to challenge myself again and created a structure and the questions that people would be interested in. That's to do with how you make your own decisions, how you relate authentically, whether it's in personal relationship, either in the office, about office politics, about different challenges in the business, different obstacles in life. And also I decided to include there, because a lot of people look at this, people that already achieved things and say, oh, they can, but I can't, because you see, they've already doing so much, people know them. So of course it's easy for them. So I've decided to go one step further in this particular book as well and ask each individual person about their journey. And it was such an interesting revelation also to find out how each person got where they are. Mm-hmm. So none of them started with, you know, with already made deal, with already being popular, famous, and well-known. You know, they all started from virtually from nothing. Virtually, either some of them been dyslexic, some of them didn't even think that anything would happen. You know, it's an amazing journey, and the journey they actually had to go through to get there. But the book consists of different topics. So I've created the book in such a way that, first of all, they have different topics in the book, like
share one with us.
Path to greatness, the strength of many, about finding mentors and learning from them and their experience. It's about the communication matrix and difference that makes the difference. It's about how to excel in business and personal relationship, a conflict resolution, breaking through the barriers and limitations, about truthful or versus sensitive communication, which is very important as well. And that's where authenticity comes in.
Because again, it is about, I say it once, I say it a million times, it is about the intellectual property. It is about the emotional intelligence and the relationship capital. Because if you build a strong relationship, that person will follow you to the moon. There will be another opportunity and they'll say, hey, Ella, you know, I've got this opportunity. I'm on the ground floor. I've worked with you before. I respect you. I listen to you. I hear you. I value you. You've got great input. Why don't you come on board? But if you burn that bridge, and sometimes brains, let's be honest, sometimes you got to burn the bridge and bury the wood that came with it.
Exactly.
Some relationships are just not valuable. But what you do is you do it with style and grace. Don't leave disgruntled. Don't not concede when you don't win. Be able to bow out gracefully. because that is going to bite you in the behind. And that reputation is going to carry on with you wherever you go. Oh, well, you know, I don't want to work with April because she's done this or she's done that. Or I don't want to work with Ella because she's not flexible and she doesn't listen to me. So you really have to take that into consideration when looking at a partner or even being a solopreneur. Being a solopreneur doesn't mean that you're working by yourself. You've got vendors, you've got employees, you've got accountants, you've got marketing people. All of these people help you succeed at what you're doing. You cannot do everything. Tell me, what is your ideal client? And I don't want to pigeonhole you, but when you're looking and you're vetting your clients, because I know that, you know, a woman of your caliber, you can't just take anybody. Anybody's just not going to work. They have to be at a certain, you know, C level, E level, or they have to have the mindset to really want to excel and expand. What are you looking for in a client?
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true, April. It's about more about the being open-minded. Because sometimes it's really, as you said, sometimes it's really hard to get to the people on C level, because they already have their preconception. And unless they actually gone through some challenging time in life and all of a sudden they had to open up their mind to see, oh, there is more to it than, you know, being the CEO of the company, being in ordering everyone. Because it's really, to tell you the truth, really lonely at the top. It's really lonely at the top because everyone's expecting you.
Let me stop you right there. I hear that all the time. Why is it lonely at the top? Is it lonely at the top because, I'm just throwing this out there, because people think that they have reached a level of excellence or superiority, that they have become combative, or is it they have reached a certain level and there are expectations of others? You know how you hear people that are catty and they say, oh, well, you know, now that she's the CEO of the company, she thinks she's this or she thinks she's that. Is it a misconception? Why do you think that it's lonely at the top?
It's a really good question. It's a really good question. I think that's what it is. It's that isolating themselves because they think they are the boss and maybe they, or the CEO, or maybe a complex of superiority in a way. And then they get to that point where they are disconnected from other people. But I think at the end of the day, it's more by disconnecting from themselves. And that's where it starts. They get disconnected from themselves because they are running to become popular. They become running to become successful. And a lot of the time, forget people that are there to support them to achieve that. They don't spend much, don't have much time for the family, for the kids, because they're running to become successful.
Right.
That's where a lot of marriages break down and, you know, miscommunication, communication breakdown. And then they can, that's communication is the main thing. It starts from within.
Right. Let's ask another question. Okay. So this is really interesting. There's this perfection complex that turns me off. When people say, oh, I'm a perfectionist, you know what I see? Insecurity.
Insecurity, yeah, I think so.
I see insecurity. When a person has, it just has to be perfect. Flaws make it better because that's how you grow and you develop. And sometimes when people get to a certain level, they don't see the value in others. They think that they know it all. Oh, I know everything. You don't know everything. There's nothing new under the sun, and we don't know everything. You learn something new every day. That's my next book. 365 days, I'm going to write down everything that I've learned. Because you learn something new every day as long as you're on this planet. So when these people have this insecurity or this perfection, and they're at this top level, and as you said, they're chasing that dollar, they're chasing that approval, they're chasing those accolades, that they forget what's important. And that's what's happening in the world right now. I think that's, you know, one of the benefits from COVID is that these CEOs or women in business, they're actually able to stop, pause, and connect with their families. They're able to sit down and have a decent meal. They're able to look at themselves in the mirror without all of this, you know, all of this corporate or all of this makeup or all of this pretension. They're actually able to see themselves for who they really are. And that's what I appreciate about you, your message, your work, and your book, is you talk about authenticity. Who are you really, brains? Look yourself in the mirror and say, who am I? What do I really want? You can't have all the money in the world and not have any friends. You know, it's a lonely place when you don't have anything to share all these wonderful things with. Wouldn't you agree, Ella?
Totally agree, totally. And that's what I believe that that's the main thing is having the success is only a value to you when you have got someone to share it with.
Right.
I believe that's true.
Again, that can be a spouse, that could be a dog, that could be a cat. So now you've been a beautiful, you know, single woman, as you shared with me, for many years. You know, you divorced your husband and you've raised your children. What are some of the challenges that you faced as you had to pivot and reset yourself? Because, I mean, you're at the top of the world. You're making, you know, millions of dollars. You've got the successful business. And then all of a sudden, you look and you go, wow, what happened? And what did it teach you?
Well, it taught me about the communication. That's the most important thing within the family as well. It's not just business. I've gone through some rough patches, going through a divorce, going through bringing kids by myself for last 26 years. So I've got... I had to face my own, demons inside as well as challenges that bring up the family and the kids going through challenging time, going through addictions, going through traumatic experiences.
Did it humble you though? Did it take you to another place of thinking about, because again, when we started this interview, you had said something very interesting. You talked about the strength of your mother and how she had, you know, she was able to make ends meet and make a beautiful home and still be there for her family, move her family from one country to another. And you think back on that as you're climbing this ladder and you're very successful and you're making money and you're seeing all these things happen, but you're not taking the time for yourself. Was some of the challenges, did that humble you and make you say, wow, you know, this may not be worth the struggle, or this may not be worth the money, or this may not be worth the prestige. What is really important is my core values, my authenticity, and to be able to look myself in the mirror. Did you learn some of those things as well?
Well, definitely life taught me many things. I've gone through on a personal development journey myself. Like at the time I got divorced, I would read all these personal development books till 3 o'clock in the morning, and 6 o'clock in the morning, I would get up and get the kids ready for school, have a breakfast and take them to school. Even though I had a lot of challenging lessons, that's the only way we grow. Mm-hmm. And that's when we're looking for those answers. That's when we start seeing this pain that other people are going through, start understanding. Even though people saying, yes, you know, you don't have to go through this struggle to be able to help other people. But in a way, sometimes at certain points, I put myself through certain things on purpose. Just to learn, to experience, to understand, because this is my natural ability. Is like, since I was little, I wanted to understand how other people feel going through different experiences. So I unconsciously would put into other people's shoes and always try to fix it. I find the solution. So what it is for me is, it's not on the surface level. It's finding these dots below the surface level, whether that's they give whatever, and then connecting them. So it's not just seeing them and connecting them, it's going deep because we're all so deep and we all communicate on such a surface level a lot of the time, you know? Mm-hmm. So it is
official.
Talking to a person and seeing how can I inspire a person? How can I understand what they're going through? What advice can I give them? How can I bring their best out?
Right.
Coming back on my journey, the whole of my journey, it put me onto this track of personal development, of wanting to help people, seeing how many people are out there actually from divorced families, from dysfunctional families, they're out there trying to make a difference. They're out there trying to help other people because of what they've gone through, most of it. There's so much out there trying to do that. They burn themselves out as well. They are disconnecting themselves, from their emotions, from how they feel, and trying to be nice for someone else. And that doesn't work. Okay. They burn you out.
They're trying to keep up with the Joneses. You know, you're trying to keep up with that other person instead of staying in your own lane, brains.
Exactly.
Everybody has their own lane. And you know what? You don't merge into other people's lane unwanted. It's like being on the highway. You put your blinker on, you signal, you let people know that you're coming over. You put you pump your brakes to let them know to stop. But when it's your turn, like it's your turn, Ella, you forge straight ahead. You are such a trailblazer. And thank you so much. I appreciate you. Please tell my brains how to get in contact with you and how to purchase a copy of that wonderful book. I'm excited.
So I'll give you the link so they can you can purchase a book on Amazon. If you put either my name, Ella Kushmir, or the title of the book, Secrets to Communicate and Empower, you'll be able to get that. You can find me. I actually run a Facebook group called Conscious Leaders Hub. So you're welcome to come and join my group. And also, if you want to get in touch with me, you can go through my website, ellakushmir.com, mm-hmm. and go on the contact me page and send me a message. And I will be more than happy to contact with you, connect with you, see how I can help, just discuss where you are and anything like that. And I also have my LinkedIn profile and I also have my public figure on Facebook profile. But the main three would be the book, the Conscious Leaders Hub, which is a Facebook group, and to contact me, you can do it through the website.
Well, thank you for being so open and honest and beautiful and vulnerable and, you know, brains. Yes, she's in Australia, but remember that now we are global. We're omnipresent. We can be anywhere at a matter of a point and a click. And this information that I'm bringing to you and the guests, I'm going deep, okay? I'm going to the land down under, Australia, to bring it up to the surface, really, because this is information that we all need. You're going to hear it over and over and over again, a mindset, because we need to shift our mind. We can't think about things that, you know, was in January of 2019. Now we are going into January 2021 and things are going to be forever more changed. And we need thought leaders and innovators like Ella. What were you going to say, baby?
Yes, I was going to add one more thing, which I actually slipped my mind, is about it all starts with self-trust. This is what a big thing that I have discovered, because when I try to put anyone else on pedestal or, following someone else, it's really dragged me down. So the most important thing that I want to leave people with is so important to trust yourself, to start with that. Trusting yourself, knowing how to listen to yourself, know how to hear yourself and your inner voice, and identify whether it's your inner voice or it's coming from somewhere else.
Right.
And after all, being yourself is your number one asset.
And being a risk taker. And that's what you guys are here on the edge. You are risk takers, you're innovators, you're thought leaders, because you're taking a chance. And you're opening your mind and your conversation to a whole new arena. There are businesses out there that you never thought of. get to thinking, write them down, journal, love, and pick up a copy of Ella's book. Let's see that book one more time, Ella.
Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, April.
Thank you.
It's my pleasure to be interviewed by you, to be here on the living edge.
That's right. We are living on the edge, girl. It's like a seesaw. We're teeter-totter back and forth. Thank you so much. Come back and visit me again really soon. You promise?
Yes. Thank you so much again, April, for having me.
You're awesome. Bye, Brain.